So the next verse, Bhagavan tells us how to handle. World will keep giving you sense objects. How to make myself strong. So verse number 23, chapter 5. Shaknoti haiva yasodum. Prak sharira vimokshanat. Kama krodod bhavam vegam. Sayukta sa sukhi naraha. Together, shaknoti haiva yasodhum prak sharira vimokshanat kama krododbhavam vegam sayukta sa sukhi naraha. So, shaknoti, one who can. Shakna means sakna, like main kar sakta hun. In Hindi, there's similar word. Sakna means the ability to do. Iha, here itself, eva. Here itself, one who can do what? Sodhum. Who can withstand, who can bear. What can he bear? We'll come to that. But he says, prak sharira vimokshanat. Prak means before. Sharira vimoksha means leaving the body. Actually, we leave the body multiple times at the time of sleep, right? At the time of deep sleep, that is also moksha. I have left the body. At that time, I don't know. A person sleeping on the sidewalk, on the footpath, or a person sleeping in a palace, their experience is the same. They don't know where I'm sleeping. But when they say vimoksha means visheshana moksha, the final leaving. And final leaving is death. That's when you finally leave your body. So one who before leaving his body can withstand. Withstand what? So second line says, kama krodha udbhavam vegam. Udbhavam means arisen from. Vegam means the force. The force of arising from kama and krodha. Kama is desire. Krodha is anger. So the force arising from desire and anger, one who can withstand before death, sayukta, such a person is united, such a person is wise, such a person is sukhi, he is happy, and such a person is nara, and he is the only one who is capable of being called a human being. So if you want to be called a sukhi nara, if you want to be happy, and you want to be united, you have to do this. Bear the force of desire and anger here itself. So, why does Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Iha Aiva, here itself? Because Vedanta is not to be practiced in a cave. It's not that I can sit in myself, isolate myself in a cave or a monastery. And practice. No, it has to be practice in the marketplace, dealing with people. And we say, you know what? That person makes me angry. Normally, I'm a very calm person. But whenever I see that guy, I get angry. If that person doesn't come, somebody else will come. See, the world is always going to give you people that make you happy and make you angry. So, you cannot isolate yourself and say, from tomorrow I won't deal with anybody, then only I'll have peace. No, Bhagavan says, Iha Iva. Here itself, Vedanta has to be practiced in the marketplace. And how do we practice it? Gurudev in his commentary talks about a violin. Just as a violin has to be tuned, so our mind and intellect has to be tuned to the higher. So with the right knowledge, and then with love for this knowledge, love for God, I tune my mind and intellect for the higher. Now, why desire and anger? As we said, desire comes from ignorance. We talked in the last verse. And desire, vegam. See, desire is okay, but when desire becomes an overwhelming force, tremendous force, and then I'm going towards that object, going, and suddenly an obstacle comes. You can't have it. I can't have what I wanted, you know. Yesterday, I was reading this girl who couldn't marry a boy. She wanted to marry him, and he left her and was marrying somebody else. And she put on a wedding dress and came to that wedding. She crashed that wedding. She said, "I want to marry this guy." And obviously, she created a big scene and all. Why? Because I couldn't get him, so I'm going to make sure she doesn't get him either. So that anger, it is an expression of anger, right? Desire leads to anger. When I cannot get something I want, it creates anger. That's why kama and krodha Bhagavan mentions. But kama has many other children. See, krodha is the number one child. But then there are many other. Mada, matsarya, moha, all of these, greed, jealousy, hatred. When I don't, somebody comes an obstacle, I hate that person. Or if I can't get it, and if, or the other person got it, or he got more, I become jealous. And even if I got what I wanted, I become greedy. I want more and more. So mad, moha, matsarya, all of these come. Jealousy, greed, hatred, anger. So desire is the father or the mother, and all the others are children. Hatred, anger, greed, jealousy, competition, selfishness, arrogance. So these are all. So everything starts from desire, and desire starts from ignorance, not knowing that I am that divine individual, but I think myself that I am this incomplete, and this will make me happy. So everything starts from ignorance. That's why knowledge is very important. Bhagavan Sri Krishna again and again in the Bhagavad Gita praises knowledge. And vegam we already talked about, the force, force of desire. But people say, now I am young. It is okay for a young person to have desire. Once I get old, then I won't have any desires and I won't have any anger. I'll be pe No. Your desires will change. It's not that previously you desired somebody from the opposite sex. Now you will desire something else. Desires will not change. And then when you don't get what you want, the anger will still be there. You think old people don't get angry? You think old people don't have desire? In fact, they have more problems because chinta, Bhagavan Sri Shankaracharya ji says, balastavat kridasakta tarunastavat tarunisakta. Vriddhastavat chinta sakta, parame brahmani kopi na sakta. He says in childhood we are attached to toys. In youth to the opposite sex. In old age we are attached to chinta, worrying about things. And parame brahmani kopi na sakta. But nobody is attached to Brahman, to God. We have no time. All the time worrying about things and people. So one who does not is yukta, sukhi, and nara. Why does Bhagavan Sri Krishna use the word yukta? He uses it many times. One meaning of yukta is he is united with God, with Om, with the Lord. Yukta also means his mind and intellect are united. So whatever is right, he gets the right knowledge from the scriptures. Then his mind listens to that knowledge and his body carries out. So such a person is yukta. And such a person only can be sukhi. Ultimately, you have to find the joy within. Yes, I have objects. I enjoy them. I deal with them, but I do not depend on happiness. Once I have found the happiness within, last week we had talked about the happiness of such a Brahma Jnani, one who has known Brahman, is million, billion times more than any joy you can get on this earth. Even you may be a king of the whole earth, you may be young, you may be healthy, strong, but the joy of the Brahma Jnani, even he may be old, he may be sick, but the joy that this wise person experiences million and billion times what you and I can experience in this world. Ramakrishna Paramhans beautifully, this is a very famous thing where he says there are three Ks we are attached to, three Ks, Kamini, Kanchan, and Kirti. Kamini, of course, is a woman. So opposite sex, we are attached to the opposite sex. Or Kanchan, gold. Gold also includes power. Because to get gold, to get power, we do anything. In fact, in our Indian history is full of examples where two kings didn't like each other. And so the other invader came, whether it was the British or the Muslims or whoever came. And so one king joined with them and said, like in Prithviraj Chauhan, our great warrior, his own brother-in-law joined with Mahmud Ghaznavi and allowed him to defeat his own brother-in-law. So traitorous. Why? Because he thought that by joining with this guy, I'll get more power and my brother-in-law will get killed. But that guy killed both. He didn't give him the kingdom either. Once he had conquered, he killed, made sure he wiped both of them out. So the point is that for wealth and for power, we are ready to do anything, up to including selling our own relatives, taking, doing all the bad things, doing dishonest things, corruption, bribery. So Kamini, Kanchan, and then Kirti. Kirti means fame. So like people to get elected. You know, they do all these election dirty tricks and politics, spread wrong news about the candidates and tell lies. And especially now with internet and Facebook and all, we saw that how the people are using to get elected by dishonest means. So Kamini, Kanchan and Kirti, these are the three things Ramakrishna Paramahansa, the great saint of India, tells us to avoid. But how do we conquer this? Vegam, this, when the desire arises and anger comes, I can't control it. It's very difficult. So they say there are three options. When a desire arises and before it goes, becomes a vegam, before it becomes strong and goes to anger, you have three choices. Express, suppress, or sublimate. Express means whatever I feel like doing, I just do it. I want to get it, I go get it. I want to eat, I eat it. I want to enjoy, I enjoy. I don't care about the consequences. Whether I'm doing right or wrong, as long as I get it, I get it. I don't care how many people I cheat, how many people I have to step over, how many people I have to backstab. I'll just go get it. That's number one. I just express. Second is suppress. Suppress is, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I feel like doing it, but I won't do it. I feel like doing it, I won't. So you keep suppressing the desire. I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. And what happens when you suppress forcibly and your knowledge is not clear, sooner or later it will explode like a balloon. You keep pressing it. Then from one side it removes, like a rubber ball. It will run away. You can only press it so much. Then it gets out. So similarly, when you suppress a desire forcefully, for a while it will be okay, and then it will expand. And then it will be more forceful. And that's what we see, that people who join the priesthood or become monks and all without proper preparation, they suppress this desire, but then sooner or later it comes out in bad ways. So the best thing is to sublimate, neither express nor suppress, but sublimate. The desire has come. Okay, desire has come. I think, is this desire good for me? Is it going to take me on the right path? If it is, to do it. But if it is not, then through this knowledge, I have to channel that same energy in the right direction. Swami Tejomayananji says, if you have greed, gun phirai hai, even in the Bani, in the teaching, there is one, that any of your qualities you turn towards God, like you have a lot of greed, right? You say, I am very greedy. So, okay, you be greedy. But you say, yesterday I meditated for half an hour, today I'll meditate 45 minutes. Tomorrow 1 hour, become greedy for that. Or today I did one mala, tomorrow I'll do two malas, third day I'll do three malas. Today I studied for half an hour, today I did so much, 1 hour of service, tomorrow I'll do 2 hours of service, the day after I'll do 3 hours. So channel your greed to, and then you have a competition and jealousy. Okay, you say, okay, he's doing service, I'll do more service than him. I'll do more puja. Not with the idea of putting him down, but the idea that I have to do better. I have to. Ultimately, you compete with yourself. So divinize all these qualities. There's greed, there's jealousy, there's anger. You say, and get angry with yourself. Why am I not able to get up in the morning and meditate? I want to meditate. Why am I not? So that is called sublimation. With the right knowledge, you channel all these qualities towards God. And in IT, of course, some of you are in IT, they say there is data. So how do they work in IT, in computers? They collect data, right? Okay, and all along this way, when things have been done, this has been the result. And so next time we put this data in the computer, what is the result going to be? The same, right? It happened 10 times before and all so many people have tried it. The data is the same, so the result will be the same. So similarly, put this data in your mind that all these years people have been chasing after worldly objects, and what has been the end result? End result has been sorrow. So, and where did we get the data from? The scriptures, from Bhagavad Gita, from the Upanishads, from Bible, from, you know, all these various scriptures. So that they take the data from that and see the example of others, how when others did it and how they chased after worldly things and they ended up in sorrow. So I have to learn. So they say wise person learns from others' experience. Then little less wise says, I have to experience and then I will learn. And the most unwise is the one, even after his own experience, he doesn't learn. So what you have to be, at least be of the first category. You don't have to experience everything to suffer. Learn from his suffering. Or at least once you have made the mistake, don't make the mistake again. So that is the essence of these two verses, that samsparshaja, whatever we contact, will give us sorrow. So in this life itself, decide that kama and krodha I'm not going to subject to. And if I want to desire, I'll desire God. Okay, in this life, I want God. And that should be my desire. And so then all my energies should be directed in that. And then alone, I will be happy. Then and then alone, I'll be peaceful. Otherwise, worldly objects are guaranteed to give me joy. I know it's a little depressing verse, but I'm sorry, that's what it is. Bhagwan has said it, so I just had to interpret, I had to translate. The next three verses are very beautiful. They talk about Brahma Nirvana. Nirvana is, of course, used by Buddha, where he got it from the Gita. What is Nirvana and what is Brahma Nirvana? So next week we'll talk about this phrase called Brahma Nirvana. So we have a few minutes. I know these are strong words, but these are from Shankaracharya ji and from Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So please don't be angry with me. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
Yeah, I was angry. And the first thing that got me going, he says, joy hunting among the finite objects is no profitable preoccupation. And, you know, and I thought then, why do we see the beauty in nature? You know, and I've got this book called Forest Bathing. And you go into a forest and you feel
yeah.
a sense of peace. And there's a sense of comfort and ease. It eases stress and worry, and it helps us relax and think more clearly. And it allows us to reflect. And it gives us a profound sense of the beauty and mystery of the universe.
Yes, very good.
Okay, that's a contact.
Yes, but okay. It was taking you towards God, right? Taking you towards inward.
But he doesn't say that.
Yeah, well, but you know, we talked about it. That's
yeah,
why the benefit of satsang. Well, you know, I think he's using strong words to wake us up. But then in the next verse he uses. So the point is that, yes, something like that, like the poppies, you know, California poppies, Neeru and I were there yesterday. It's like God has sprinkled this, you know, orange color and yellow. So, yeah, so these things, like reading a good book, you know, poetry, nature especially reminds us. That's why nature is very soothing, because nature does not react. See, an individual reacts when you say something or an object, but nature is totally peaceful because she's all loving and compassionate and very calming. And why? Because then it takes you towards the self. So anything that takes you inward towards peace or takes you towards God who is everywhere, those things are good. Yeah, those contacts are good. And that's why we mentioned that. That anything that takes you towards upward is good. Those contacts we must do. Because you can't go through life without contacts. But you have to choose, what am I going to contact? That's why we said divinize all your contacts. Yes.
So and then too, you know, as you were talking, you live in a world of opposites.
Yes.
And so, you know, you were saying greed, jealousy, and anger, but then there's also the opposite of that.
Love, compassion, kindness. Yes.
Yeah. And so all contacts, they have the bad, but they also have the good.
So you can pick, you know, if you have a choice between, like the prayer of Saint Francis,
right.
Where there is anger, let me bring love. So when I practice love and compassion, kindness, not partly to myself, but more towards others, then I am acting in a divine way, in a saintly way. So yes, I have to divinize my contacts. So be kind towards myself and then be kind towards others. Kind, you know, means not indulging myself, but loving the good qualities in me, because all of us have goodness in us. So practicing that goodness, the more I practice, the more it will become a habit. Yes. No, of course, divine contacts we must do, and we must practice love. And all these great saints, you know, they loved everybody, even when the people who persecuted them, they still loved them. Yeah, no, love, kindness, compassion, sharing, unselfishness. Yeah, those are, of course, good. When you see a child, you pick the child up with love. That's not a desire. That is a genuine expression of a mother's love for her child. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's this excess, bhogaha. That's why they say bhogaha, that looking for joy in sense pleasures and thinking that this alone will give me joy and then indulging in that. So he's warning against overindulgence. In the previous verse he said, neither he gets overjoyed when things are going well, neither gets depressed. So the Gita has to be read as the whole 700 verses, not just one verse. Unfortunately, each week we focus on one segment of it, so it looks like that alone is the truth.
Because in other parts of the Gita, he does talk about the opposite. What is a good man?
Yes.
And all those positive qualities.
Right. Right. Yeah, like in the 12th chapter, you know, where it Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karuna. He does not hate anybody. He's loving. He's compassionate. He's content. He's kind. You know, all those. But there also he says, the one who is same in the pair of opposite, there also in the 12th chapter, such a devotee is dear to me. Sama Shatrau Cha Mitre Cha Tatha Man Aap Man Yoho. So one who can be the same in all situations, and only that can happen when he has discovered the joy within. So he's just trying to take us towards divinity. That is the idea. Not that one should not have contacts. You can't go through life. In fact, it says, without karma, you even sharir yatra pichate na prasiddhyet. In Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, he says, even to maintain the body, you have to do karmas, sense contacts. You know, you have to get up in the morning and brush your teeth and eat your breakfast and take a shower. So, it's how you divinize them.
And so, we should really seek out the contacts that are good.
Yes.
The contacts that bring us peace, bring us joy.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Contact with saints, I found for me personally, either personally or through books. That's why contact with saints is very important. Thank you. No, that's a good point. I knew somebody would bring that up.
Oh, you know, you were talking about anger. And I have found that anger is a motivator. At least it's a motivator for me. And so it isn't always bad. And, you know, and so I went into, okay, so when I get angry, it's like my body clicks into the fight or flight. You know, my body releases all that, and my senses become sharper, and I find the words to say things, and usually I don't. So, you know, so anger itself can become positive.
No, but vegam, see, but the force of anger, if you cannot control the anger, if you control the anger, like to a child, you're telling them something to make them better, but the anger becomes so much that you beat the child, slap him and injure him, then you have let the anger, or same with yourself, you know, you start getting so angry with yourself, you self-inflict, you know, guilt and all those things. So anger should be avoided. it should be only used as a last resort. The words of wisdom should motivate you rather than get angry, because anger is a harmful, because you don't know when to stop. It gets out of control. That's why he says vegam. Is very clearly, he says vegam means the force of anger and desire. It becomes uncontrolled. That's why.
But I think about what's going on in the world today too, you know, and this anger that's causing social change in the world. You know, the anger of slavery.
Yeah, but again, ultimately they say that violence cannot be removed by violence. Violence can only be removed by love. Yeah, for change. Yes, for desire to change is good. Yeah.
And that's where the intellect then has to come in and sort of mitigate the emotion.
Right. It has to be a controlled non-acceptance of what is not good at this moment. I won't accept it. But again, if you try to change it with violence or with anger, all you'll do is two angry people will make it worse. If there's one anger, another anger. But if one angry person meets a peaceful person, the chance is that other person will become peaceful too. That's why they say be a change through peace, not through anger.
Mm-hmm. But could those changes happen without the anger? I mean, where else does the impetus for change, and think about Swami Chidananda and people who do not get angry, what is their motivation?
No, he did though. When things were not okay, yeah, he told the people that. I remember I was in Los Angeles where they were not doing what they were. And he said, "Here, I'll change the whole board. I'll remove every one of you." So, but he says, I keep anger in my pocket. I take it out, use it, and I put it back. So his point was that when things were not done, he would tell people. But then next moment, another person would come and he would be smiling and talking to the child as if nothing has happened. So they don't let anger control them, but you can use, in very rare situation. Most of the time he was ask all his devotees who dealt with him. He was so loving, so compassionate, so kind. All this he did for us. He didn't need to. He was already a realized master sitting in the Himalayas. He didn't need to come and build all these centers and set up all this. He did out of love and compassion for us. And a desire to educate the people. His guru told him, "You are already reached. You already are there. Why are you wanting to go to the plains?" His guru told him, "Don't go." But he said, "No, I have to spread this knowledge to the world." So his motive was compassion for us. And occasionally, yes, he did get angry. But for a right cause. And then immediately he got over it. But there are some saints who, you know, who are very calm, but, you know, everybody is different. But the goal of all of them is to help us get better.
Yeah. When we see injustice or wrongdoing,
right,
it does affect us that we recognize that. Then I think you need to analyze that before you get angry. I mean, anger is a last resort. Even with a child, you kind of, you know, do a lot of things with the child when he's doing wrong thing.
Right.
You, as you say, slap him. So that's, you know, anger. You don't have to be angry to solve a wrong thing or injustice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because once you get angry, your judgment
is clouded.
Gets clouded.
Right.
So
thank you. That's a good point.
So anger is necessary, but not always.
Mm-hmm. Right. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.